Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jeff Beaupre. You're listening to KRDO News Radio, the Extra Business Week in Review. Always an interesting way to end the week and lots of things going on. We're going to be talking about Mark Zuckerberg's presentation, I guess. I wouldn't call it testimony, in front of Congress and kind of where Facebook is at. We also have some special guests. Mark Teller is here from Chicago. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Jeff, thank you for having us.
I'd like to say he just flew in just for us, but there's all sorts of good business going on. We're going to be talking about that in the second segment. Mike Weir is also here from the El Paso County Medical Society and Pro Practice. Mike, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Good to see you again.
Always good to have a discussion. And I guess let's dig into, well, I want to make a couple of shout-outs to our listeners. We've had just amazing response, especially on the European side. We're in some discussions with the European EDC. They've got some amazing programs they're putting together and looking at taking that to a broader perspective. It fits well with what we're doing at the program here. So we're going to be rolling that out in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that one, literally. We'll be talking about that and some of the programs. Let's dig into the Facebook side first, and then we'll get into some of what Mark and Mike are here to talk about. So Facebook, the discussions this week, you know, we have beat this drum endlessly over the, well, I don't know how long now, about you have to be careful what you post on Facebook. You don't, I see people that every second of their life is out on Facebook. And there's currently, 2.2 billion active users that was announced this week. And everything is out there. They're scraping it, as the term is used. They're selling it. They're making money on it. It's a free service. They got to be making money somehow. The thing that was surprising to me was kind of buried in the testimony. There are areas within Facebook that you can mark your information as private. Well, that's all well and good, but it came out that if all your friends don't also mark those areas private, Facebook can go in from their side and read your private information, and they think that's just fine. The bottom line is you may think you're all private and everything's fine, but it's a ruse, and you really have to understand everything is out there. So no matter what, and I don't know how many times I've talked about this point, is the employers, the first thing they do is go out to those Facebook pages, and I see things all the time that their emotions, everything about their life is posted out there, and you don't need a resume. You can read that, and you're just fine. Mike and Mark are shaking their heads as well in agreement that it's a huge thing. So the bottom line of Facebook is you just have to be careful, you know, and there's all this commotion about it, how it's, you know, so bad, but it's always been that way. The social media sites, you just have to be careful with what you're posting. You know, whether it's business or anything else, it will come back to bite you. So that's kind of the short summary of the Facebook issue this week. I'm sure there's going to be more to come. I saw Steve Wozniak, who's co-founder of Apple, had deleted his account. That got a lot of play. It's good for news making, but I don't know what's going to come of it. I mean, the average user is going to keep on doing it. They didn't even follow the testimony, so they're not going to do anything else about it. In the fourth segment, we're going to be talking about the Symantec first quarter 2018 threat report. Also, not much surprise there that the malware and everything is off the charts. We're going to be talking about some of the specifics and maybe some of the additional things we're going to be talking about. But we're going to probably go to a short break here a little bit early and come back, because I really want to dig into what 3-1 is talking about, and Mark will kind of introduce us to that. We talk about filling a need and filling a gap. And this is the discussion today is primarily around medical. This is medical business, medical practices, and some of the things that they're trying to do to fill those gaps. So stay with us. It's just about 9:14 on Friday morning, the 13th. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you're listening to KRDO News Radio, 105.5. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Beaupre, and you're listening to KRDO News Radio, The Extra Business Week in Review. It's just about 9:18 on Friday morning. I am thrilled to have special guests again in the studio. Mike Weir, several times back now. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a regular now.
Yeah, see, yeah. He wants his desk.
Yeah.
And Mark Teller. Mark, welcome. And you're from Chicago, so tell us a little bit about that, and we're going to get into your company and how you're kind of filling this in. We were talking in the prep meeting, though. You know, I'm a big foodie, and we're talking about Portillo, so we have to have a discussion about Portillo as well. Mike is over here grinning from ear to ear.
It's like a Chicago expat here. I can tell you, I can vouch for Mark's comments on Portillo's.
Is it lunchtime yet, or when's the next plane?
Lunchtime on the East
2:20
Coast.
2:20 is my flight.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us today and having you in the area and talking about medical. And to Mike's comment a while back of trying to fill the gaps with some of the issues they're having in the medical side, and Mike, you made the point very well about we want to let the docs practice medicine. Correct. And not have to be in the business management side.
Correct.
And so tell us a little bit about how you two got together and dig into 3-1. Is that the name of the company?
That is the name of the company, yes.
And again, then you have to explain that one then, too.
We can do that.
Have at, Mark.
So, again, thank you for having us. Glad to be here. I'll just give you a little bit of a backdrop on 3-1 and then how our partnership with Mike came to be. We formed the business in late 2010 with the intention of being a healthcare IT company.
So you've been around a while.
Been around a while. Took our time kind of scoping out what we really wanted to be as we matured the business. Looked at all of the different processes that were out there for the places that we wanted to compete in. And then worked on perfecting the model. And all of our software is homegrown, so nothing's outsourced. We had a green field to work from, so to speak. Everything's kind of business rules generated, so we were able to not have to be pigeonholed with legacy systems and trying to make something work from old software.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's an opportunity you don't get very often to greenfield something.
True. Yeah. And we had plenty of capital, so it wasn't as though we had to try to make it work with a limited amount.
You didn't have to eat that particular day, right?
Right. So it's been good in that regard. So what we really are is about perfecting provider data management. And when everybody talks about medical and how to take costs out of the system, we're oftentimes talking about electronic medical records for the patients. Nobody's really talking about what does provider data management mean and how does that gum up the work, so to speak. So we took a physician-centric approach as to what has traditionally been an approach centered on what does the hospital need, what does the health plan need, not necessarily how can we get better compliance with the physician to go forward and get their data, maintain that data, and make that available. It's a very repetitive industry. There's a lot of redundancy. The average physician may be at 3 or 4 different hospitals. They're all asking for that same information from the physician. Every 2 years, they're up for a recredentialing so that they can be reappointed with privilege at the hospital. And oftentimes within the hospital, there's several departments asking the physician or their proxy, their administrative proxy, for that same information. And the compliance of getting that data back is slow in coming.
Well, and you brought up this interesting point, and this is new for me, when you talked about credentialing of physicians, and I never thought about it until we got to talking about it. It's like, okay, you come in with your degrees and things like that, but it's a long process. As you mentioned, we got together for lunch yesterday and talking about you want to know what the doc is really like before they're in the OR. That just stopped me dead in my tracks right there when you talked about that, and this is a huge part of this.
It really is. So what we're trying to do, as opposed to what has been the traditional methodology out there of gathering that data, holding that data until the physician is up for a recredentialing event at the hospital 2 years later, maybe doing some follow-up, which we call continuous query with the National Practitioner Data Bank, but maintaining the fact that their license may have expired for a period of time. They may not know that, so all of a sudden the privilege should have been suspended. So that kind of a risk mitigation issue for the hospitals. It's also important for the health plans for us to push out continuous updated information. It helps the health plans in terms of re-adjudicating claims. It helps with their directories, which is one of their biggest problems, and that reduces the patient access to care. So if we can keep the directories are typically about 40% inaccurate. Physicians' data 40%. Physician data, primarily biographical and demographic, has been reported to degrade by as much as 2% a month. So if the physician's not up for recredentialing in a health plan in 3 years, there's quite a bit of data that has gone stale.
You already got me nervous. I don't want to get sick.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that. The physicians are fine guys, and that's our point, is to let them be out there practicing medicine. That's what they went to school for. That's what they're
exactly.
good at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from our the third part to this equation is the patient. So the frustration that often exists is you go online to your health plan, you look at the directory, you pick out a physician that's local, you go there, you you make an appointment, you go, and you show up and you find out that physician's no longer in that network. And so you have this frustration that exists. Or the physician opens a new office in the other part of town, which is a little bit more convenient for you, you're happy to go there. Then you find out, but by the way, that's now in a different county or a different zip, and that plan that you had that was applicable at the other location is no longer applicable at that location, and now you have an out-of-network situation. So we're helping to track all of that to reduce the frustration from all parties.
So this is a huge need, just like you were talking about earlier. I'm stunned with some of this. So 3-1 came in and is trying to automate that, basically.
Yes. So first, our name. What does 3-1 mean? It's 3-W-O-N, not 3-O-N-E.
That's what threw me when I tried to pronounce it.
And really,
it had to be a Chicago term. How's that?
No. But it was formed for a couple of different reasons. First, it was the implication that by continually updating the data, keeping it contemporary, that all parties win. The payers win, along with the hospitals and health systems. The patient wins. The physician wins. Because the physician's going to win in that they don't have to constantly repeat this information. It should help the foot traffic with the practice. The patient, as I mentioned, reduces their frustration. The hospitals get better oversight, so it reduces risk. And then the health plans, of course, they want to try to not pen claims. They'd rather pay the claim and not have to go through the adjudication process. The other piece to that is we sort of follow the philosophy that Mark Benioff from Salesforce has of giving 1% of our time, 1% of our resources, and 1% of our profits to philanthropic endeavors to try to help the community, help the world. That was his thought. If everybody did that from the corporate environment, we could solve a lot of the world's ills.
Very good
point. As a case in point to that, we have a hospital in Chicago. It's a safety net hospital that was in danger of closing. So we do their credentialing on us. Yeah, just to help reduce some of their expense.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. So tell us more about, and this kind of brings Mike into the picture of how did the two groups get together, kind of where do you see this business, because Mike is all about, making the doc's life a little bit easier. I can see where this all fits together. How did it come together, and where are you guys headed?
Well, thanks, Jeff. We at the El Paso County Medical Society and Pro Practice have been in the credentials verification business for about 26 years. And starting about 2 years ago, we started looking at ways to update and make more efficient the processes we had. Really just being a member organization, always looking at what's that additional value on the member dollar. And so there were a lot of companies out there that where you can buy their software and it allows you to be more efficient, do twice as much with the same number of personnel. But there was nothing really that was out changing the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate to cut you off.
That's
I'm
right.
a bad host. We got to go to a break.
Yeah.
We'll come right back. You're listening to KRDO News Radio, Business Week in Review. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Beaupre. You're listening to KRDO News Radio, The Extra, Business Week in Review. It's just about 9:37, Friday morning, the 13th. My goodness. Yeah. Well, we won't go into Friday the 13th. That's for another show.
As I get to hop on a plane in a couple of hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll leave that one alone. Before the break, and I'm a bad host, I had to cut Mike off as we went to the station break, but we were talking about how this partnership came together and how it solves some of the great pain issues. And we always talk about how the discussions during break are always, we need to start posting those. But Mike, talk about some of those pain points and kind of where this comes together.
Yeah, you know, really on the partnership, it's, you know, one of the great things about our relationship is that, you know, we found we're attacking the problem from different angles. So we're able to complement each other and really have something that the proverbial sum is greater than, you know, the whole of its parts. I may be butchering that quote, but
close enough.
So the, you know, but we're really all in the business of making the practice of medicine a little easier for the end user, whether that's the physician, whether that's the patient, whether that's the frontline staff, the clinical support staff. You know, like anybody in an entrepreneurial endeavor, our number one job is to be a problem solver. And so, I mean, that's really, you know, really the pain points we solve. I mean, we're talking about everything from just by, you know, simply having accurate provider data. You eliminate the number one reason why insurance companies deny claims. So now, by making that process more efficient, you're now saving money for the insurance company. We're taking money out, wasted money out of the system. We're also taking a significant headache off the practices plate, as well as, you know, the hospital and everybody involved in the process. I mean, again, it comes down to solving pain points.
Exactly. Just to piggyback that for a moment, when we talk about the medical practice, for example, they spend a lot of time in terms of dealing with denials, dealing with claim adjudication, having to resubmit claims. So it creates a lot of problem, a lot of friction in terms of their accounts receivable.
Well, I can imagine.
The choppiness, and then the claim hasn't been paid properly. Do I get to go back? Do I have to write something off? So the provider data management piece can help scrub that before and help flush out some of the problems that exist before it goes to the clearinghouse for payment. So we often talk in the industry that the physician engagement is the last mile. So the health plans have their needs. The hospitals have their needs. Then we've got to go out and reach out to the physician and get what we need. And it really ought to be, in our minds, the physician's the first mile. If we can get the physician's data, and we understand that the physician's being asked for data throughout the year from a myriad of places.
Well, you were saying during the break that it's like 18 forms?
On average, the physician's asked to fill out 17.8 forms a year from the various hospitals they work with, the health plans that they're contracted with, could be a state survey, reapplying for a license. So when the hospital calls for data, the practitioner is sitting there not necessarily very responsive, and the hospital doesn't understand why you're not real responsive. Well, it's because they're filling out forms from a variety of places. So what we're trying to do is create a central repository of data. The static data stays there. The dynamic data is constantly monitored. We're hooked into more than 25 different databases, so that we're constantly monitoring changes in the physician's profile and pushing that information out to all the constituents that need that, so that that takes a lot of the redundancy out of the system. It takes a lot of the frustration out of the system. When we were talking during break, it's not only a potential savings story for the hospital when we do their credentialing, and by the way, we are a credentials verification organization as well as a healthcare IT company, and we are what's considered, we are NCQA certified and URAC accredited. So we've gone through all of the auditings in order to have our certifications. But oftentimes, when a hospital hires a new practitioner or a practice, and they've got to get that physician enrolled in the health plans, if it takes an extended period of time, they're paying for that practitioner to sit on the sidelines. They're paying the med mal, they're paying salary, the physician can't see patients because they're not enrolled in the health plans. The number one reason for delaying getting physicians into health plans is typically due to incomplete applications. Our process basically eliminates that first piece. We don't allow anything to go out that's not complete. We have kind of a TurboTax type of validation system that we have in place. And if we can shrink that cycle time, now the practitioner is billing sooner. They're doing what they want to be doing. The practice is making money, as is the hospital.
This is just amazing to me to learn about the inefficiencies of just all of the paperwork involved and the issues. And I'm sure the patients out there and our listeners are my jaw's on the table right now listening to all this. But you talk about filling a need, and that's it.
It is. Well, I mean, what you're talking about is really addressing a lot of the back-end cost issues. I mean, it's something that most everybody sees the front end of the business, the customer-facing end, but really a lot of the expense in healthcare is waste and inefficiency on the back end that nobody, unless you're living healthcare every day, is seeing.
That's just amazing. And to your point, Mike, we talk about this service. This is not just El Paso County or Colorado. You're a national organization.
That's correct. That's correct. So we are located outside of Chicago in the southwest suburbs, Naperville. And we have a relationship established with several different medical societies and hospital associations.
And obviously,
Mike. And Mike. Mike has been a terrific partner so far. It's only been a few months, but we've had a tremendous reaction here in Colorado, thanks to Mike and Frankie's efforts.
Yeah, well, thank you, and just great to have you as a partner at ProPractice.
Thank you.
And it goes back to the education thing. I'm still rattling around in my head about what you're bringing to the table, so to speak, in terms of solution and cost savings. Because we all howl about our medical costs, and then to hear about these inefficiencies. So I'm still trying to absorb it.
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, and really just 15 years ago, 16 years ago now, getting into this business, it took me a good 2 years to get my head around it. And I had been living the policy world on health insurance from the legislative side for, a couple, 3 years already. And that's how complex the system of American healthcare is. I mean, it's really, my personal opinion is a lot of what's driving the cost is just inefficiency. It's personnel heavy processes. It's duplicative process. And, really the only way we're going to meaningfully make the system more efficient and make it, really a better experience both on the clinical and non-clinical side for the end user is by removing a lot of that back end inefficiency. And, that's really what just the key to all of this.
Yeah, and it's very true. I mean, what we have found in this industry is that what has worked for 20, 30 years oftentimes is what stays. And it's quick to embrace new technologies when the science is involved in medicine, but it's not new to embrace new technologies when it comes to the business side. So today we have 21st century technologies, as we were talking about, a greenfield. We're cloud-based, which provides some little level of security.
Right.
But you're still dealing with a lot of legacy systems that are out there and protocols, and they're trying to pigeonhole things to make it work as opposed to making that investment to bring things up to today's standards, which could take a lot of cost out of the system.
And it's really interesting, as you say, Mark, the practice side technology is driving it, but the business, and we see this across the board, with so many businesses, I don't care if it's medical, if it's manufacturing, whatever it is, there's a real aversion to change in terms of some of the business practices.
Everybody wants change. Nobody wants to do anything differently.
And I'm no different. It's a new version of software comes out, and I'm growling about all the problems it causes. And we're in the IT business, but I'm not big on change. But it really drives that business part of it.
It's as though it's like I want change with history, though. I don't, I want
especially
that change,
in the medical
but I don't
side,
want to be the first one out of the gate to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to be the bleeding edge, so to speak, and the guinea pig as we, a lot of the updates come out on whatever the software is. You don't want to be the test case.
Right.
So, amazing. Well, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll come back and wrap some of this up. We'll get some contact information and things like that. You're listening to The Extra, Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's just 9:50 on Friday morning. We're going to just keep the discussion going. There's a lot of good information around this whole medical and credentialing and everything like that. So I'm going to get out of the way. Mike, there's some good points that need to be made yet. So have at.
Yeah, really just, we're talking a lot about credentialing and talking a lot about savings in the industry. But really, if you want to take it just to a broad entrepreneurial level, We're in the business of filling needs and making people's lives easier. And so, say talk ProPractice in our example. And the whole ProPractice concept came from looking at what the needs are out there. Practices and just listening to them. Practices and physicians and their staff were telling us, we don't have time to go out and find these vendors that can help make us more efficient. We want just one place where we can go, and we know it's a trusted source to be able to get everything together, and you guys as our professional association are in a great place to do that. As one person said, you are us. Think, physicians
well
saying,
said.
Yeah.
Well said.
And, so, I mean, really it comes down to filling a need. And I think that's just, the great part about today's conversation.
You know, just to add on a little bit to that in terms of filling the need. So it's not only taking the redundancy out of the system, but how to make it easier for people to comply with the data requirements, the people being practitioners and or their administrative proxy. We've recently introduced a mobile app as an example. So if they download our mobile app, they have the ability to go into that app and receive alerts and texts when their profile changes. If there's an attestation that's required, they don't need to find the computer to get in front of. They can do it on the mobile app. Next quarter, we're going to be introducing the ability of when a practitioner goes for a continuing education credit, if there happens to be a barcode or a QR reader, they'll be able to scan that in the via our mobile app. That'll go right into their profile if we're managing their data. It won't be this paper trail that they've got to go and submit.
That speeds things up amazingly well.
Yeah. And then the last point, which a lot of people are always worried about, is security. Of course, you're a cybersecurity guy.
We can break into anything.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, we are cloud-based, and we work with AWS. We did quite a bit of research as to which cloud-based system we wanted to work with, and we felt they best met our needs.
Well, and this kind of goes to your Greenfield comment early on.
Yes.
You could start from the best and work up.
Correct. And we take a lot of pride in trying to. I don't want to open up a can of worms here, but we do what we can, and we spend a lot of time protecting data, making sure that practitioner's data stays protected. We whitelist people's that have access to our database.
Yeah, that's a key
blacklist.
Point. Right.
So we feel good about that. We feel like we're making a difference in the industry. And
that's a good point. Talk a little bit about that. Are you getting, what are your response so far?
So it's been good. It really has. As Mike was talking about, we're not, and you were mentioning, we're not just based here and working in El Paso. We have relationships with associations and societies, Texas Hospital Association, trying to build out a statewide CVO in Texas. We're doing the same thing in upstate New York, Arizona, Nebraska, Illinois, Maryland. So we are a national company, and we have the means to scale with the automation that we bring.
Yeah. Scalability.
Typically, when you do credentialing at a hospital, the rule of thumb is that a practitioner, that a medical staff person can handle 200 files a year. Our automation allows us to get to about four times that.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's great, and I'm still. It's a concept I'd never thought about, credentialing. And it first came up, I go, and for our listeners, they're going, "What is credentialing?" Well, again, you just don't walk into a hospital and say, "Here I am," and I went to such and such medical school. They have to give due diligence because of the insurance and requirements and things like that.
Absolutely, and things change. There might be some unfortunate incident. There was there's an adverse action, and that needs to be told. We're not also just about being that policeman. When we manage the physician's data, we're also out there gathering their honors, their awards, their achievements. We're giving web links to where they may have published articles so that when they're in the community itself gets a better feel for that practitioner that they might be seeing.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, as we start to wrap up, Mike, give us a couple of closing comments. Give us contact information, first off, for all of the practitioners and medical offices that may want to talk to you about some of this, improvement in efficiency.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Yeah, the best way to reach us, phone number 719-591-2424, epcms.org. is our website, and for anyone looking just for free business resources to help run your medical practice more efficiently, our blog, Frontlines of Medicine, all one word, frontlinesofmedicine.com.
Outstanding. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. You've been listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. Have a great weekend.
Friday mornings live at 9 on KRDO News Radio, the Extra Business Week in Review. Join the panel every week for live, insightful commentary on current business topics, the politics of business, real cybersecurity, risk management, and more to power your business. The Extra Business Week in Review, Friday mornings live at 9, only on KRDO News Radio.